tonight, before I turn the phone over to you, I am going to look on from verse 1 to verse 3. And then we will open up the phones, and then we will try to get information from the brethren. Please don't lag behind. Try to come forward with your thoughts as the Lord would have it. Now, verse 142 said, then Job answered the Lord and said, now, this, we cannot make a mistake here, because the word is telling us who now is speaking. This is the second time we are seeing Job addressing the situation from way down there at 31, from chapter 31, two times after that now, that we're going to hear Job speak. He spoke over chapter 40, and now he is speaking here in chapter 42. And let's hear what he has to say. He says in verse 2 of chapter 42, who is he that I did counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I stop there for the time being. Job is here answering, and as he come back into the picture, he asked a question which was asked in chapter 38. And who asked a question in chapter 38? Chapter 38, verse 2. The Lord himself started out by asking this question. This is the first question, you will recall, that the Lord asked Job. In all the 70 plus questions that the Lord asked from Job 38 to Job 41, this is the first question that the Lord asked. And hear what the question said. 38 verse 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? That is what the Lord asked Job. Because the Lord pointed out to Job by name. The first verse in 38 said, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, the Lord directed his question to Job. And then he asked him, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And so it's interesting here, as we look over 42, Job repeats almost word for word what the Lord had said down there in Job 38 verse 2. When he said here in verse 2 of 42, I know that thou, in verse 3 of 42, who is he that I did counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I know not. Somebody breathing a little bit too heavy in the phone. Job is saying here to us, look, I am the one who was presumptuous I am the one that you were talking to in chapter 38. I am the one. And he did not say it with any with any glee. He did not say it with any with any joy. He did not say it as if he was in the fear of God. He was saying it from an humble spirit. He was declaring before God that I will have to admit that I am the one who sidestep your counsel. I am the one who put darkness upon your counsel. When you ask the question, who is he that darkened my counsel? He is over here now saying to the Lord, Lord, I am that person. I am that person. And what we find is that as he made mention of this in the third verse of 42 here, follow is a sequence of utterance. It's a sequence of expressing his regret before God. Because there is something that, and I'm jumping ahead of myself here. There is something that Job has discovered since chapter 38 that he did not know before. And he was there without a word up to chapter 40, that God continue to pump these questions at him. And we find out when he does say something in chapter 40. Listen to what he said in chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 3 and 4. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer? What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. That is what Job said here in 40. And that is verse 3. The Lord continued to speak in verse 4. What shall I answer thee? That is after listening to the different questions that God asked. Then he muster up the strength in order to reply to God and said, Lord, what can I answer you? And said, it is at that point that he put his hand upon his mouth, as if to say, I will not say anything else. Because when the Lord start asking these questions, there is something that starts to happen inside of the brother's spirit, inside of the brother's heart. And he declared in 42 that I am the one who speak about you, who cover up your counsel in darkness, who did not bring light to your revelation and your counsel, but instead hide your counsel so that you would not be elevated in the way that you should. I am the one he is confessing here to the Lord. And we will see the different things that he said, and you probably might make mention of them. as we continue to go down the line here in this last book?
Pastor, there is something that I'd like to point out here before we go any further. And I'm just going to start off with the second verse. There are three words that are so powerful. He says, I know that thou canst do, the word is everything. Then he goes on to say, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. The word thought. When we stop to think from what we just read here now, to know that God can do everything, I don't think everybody is conscious of that, that there is nothing impossible for God to do. Everything. And this is something that we need to think about, that there is everything our eternal Father is capable of doing. And that's what Job come to realize from the many questions that God asked him, and he failed to answer them. And now he's saying, here now, I know that thou canst do not something, but everything. Isn't that wonderful? It's something to ponder about. And then he goes on to say, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Our very thoughts, that we know that nobody know what we're thinking about. God, our eternal Father, knows what we're thinking about when no one else knows. And I think this is something that we need to think about, that the God that we serve is so mighty, and as he's been described, almighty, and he knows everything. Scripture says Job come to realize that from the questions that God continued to ask him. I know that thou canst do not something, but everything. And that we need to understand, that the God we serve is a mighty God, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Everything that we are thinking of, God knows about it. Isn't Amen. That wonderful? I think it's a mighty thing to think about. Our Amen. Very thoughts, God knows them. And yes. I'll stop at that. And that was born out of the many questions that God asked Job, and he could not answer them. Okay, yes. I'll go on further, but let someone else carry on. There are other questions that I'd like to speak about later on.
Thank you, Pastor, for that observation there, because it feeds right into the whole picture that we are presenting here. You will remember, sisters, we are coming to you. We are going to open up the line in a little while. You will remember Sunday morning, as part of the presentation, that we look at the psalmist, what the psalmist said, as we try to figure out how is it that David really did encourage himself in the Lord. What was his thoughts? And so we went over to Job 42, and we see where the psalmist in chapter 5, in verse 5, said, why are, and this is the thing, why? Twice he used the word why. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why are so why are thou so disquieted within me? You remember we touched upon that. Even Brother Bailey made mention of it twice in his prison worship as well. Not necessarily this verse, but Psalms 42. And so the thought that the Lord deposits in my spirit there, it is something that I'd like to bring back here as we look on Job. And the psalmist was saying, despite all the evidence around me that caused me to be drinking my tears day and night, I have no appetite for anything else. My sorrow is so overwhelming that I keep crying morning, noon, and night, and I just find myself consuming my tears. Despite all the evidence around him that caused him to reach to that point, that place where he was overwhelmed by his situation, he asked himself twice, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me?" And in fact, for emphasis, he repeats almost the same thing in verse 11 of chapter 42, Psalms chapter 42. But the thought I'm trying to bring across to us tonight, as we read Job 42 here, is the psalmist is saying to himself, give me, despite what is around him, he said, give me a reason. Give me a reason why you should be cast down, soul. Give me a reason why you should be disquieted within me. And he came to that conclusion against the background of measuring God with the problem that affects him. And when he measures God with the problem that affects him, he realizes that God is vastly bigger than the few puny things that affected him. So he's saying, having a God like I serve and I know, why should I be cast down as a result of these things around me that caused me to be weeping? Yes, it affect me emotionally. But just give me a good reason why I should be cast down. And then he's like, he hits himself and shakes himself. And it's like he'll pull up his waistband and say, come on, soul. This the reality here. God is bigger than this. And that is what we have just heard Pastor mention here. That he knows everything. He can do everything. Even the very thoughts of our heart, which no man knoweth, before we are able to utter a word or put that thought into action, he knows. So it is against the background of seeing the mighty power of God on display in so many different ways that we come to the conclusion that nothing really should cast us down, because he's bigger than our problem. He's bigger than anything that we can ever come across. He can solve it. He can solve this problem by just the flick of his finger. What a thought. Yeah. And so I am saying to the church tonight, I'm saying to the church, let's view God in that. Because Job, and I don't want to get down there so early, but Job eyes have just been open to this being called God. His overwhelming ability, his tremendous power, his far-reaching ability, Job realized that what I am experiencing is righteousness in the rest of the scripture. And he came here and he saw something different from what he was thinking all along. And it humbled him. It humbled him. And when we can reach at the place where we can see in the face of God our weaknesses, our failures, and we can acknowledge it before God, it is the first step of healing. He came here and he said to the Lord, I am the one that you were talking about down there when you first start speaking in verse, in chapter 38, verse 3. I am the one that you were talking about. I am the one who take counsel without knowledge. Therefore, I have uttered that I understood not things so wonderful for me, which I knew not. The brother was saying, look, out of my ignorance, I utter things I should not have said. When he looked and he sees who he has before him, oh God, it weakens him, it humbles him, and now he is speaking with tremendous humility. Can we as a church learn anything from this? Can we as individuals learn anything from this? Will we be quick to say that we are sorry to our brother or to our sister in the face of this great and wonderful God? I am going to, before going saying any more, open up the phone. And I'm sure that Pastor will come back later on again, but I'm sure that somebody else at this point would like to say something. And I'm glad we reached here because Sister Fiani has been hinting at this particular chapter for a long time. And so we are here now, Sister Fiani, and what you have been saying all along, we are seeing it before our eyes. So I'm opening up the phone right now for anybody who would like to make a comment.
I want to jump in right here, Pastor.
Yes.
I am so excited about this chapter, but, and I'm sorry that it's going to finish anyhow. I just see Job as a person who was suffering and did, was, you know, saying that the Lord didn't have any compassion for him while he wasn't getting well. And Job is admitting now that he was wrong. And he repented of his complaint against God. God has had a purpose for Job's suffering, but he didn't know. Because I can imagine, sir, you know, when you have pains and seeing all these things happening to you, you say anything, but you have to remember that God is with us. He gave us his promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he's always with us. So we have to, at all times, during suffering, acknowledge his presence. Job said he did not. Job was not knowledgeable of a lot of things. And he did not use wisdom. That's why he said all those things. But I remember earlier in the passage that he said, I know my Redeemer lives. So there was something deep down in him that he was not going to let go of.
Yeah.
So he humbled himself and repent before God and God restore him, sir.
Yes.
I just want to say here that that is reminding all of us to continuously depend on God and trust him in all circumstances. Trust in all circumstances. He's not going to let us fall. Amen, sir. I'm finished.
Thank you, Sister Bernice, for that thought. And of course, Job did say things, and I think it is timely to remind all of us that Job did not sin to be sick. Let's make sure that all of us remember that. It was not because he did anything wrong that caused him to be sick. It is during his illness. It is during his illness. The things that he said in regards to how we feel about God that caused him to be saying what he's saying now, and what the Lord has said in regards to what he did. But it is not because he had sinned that caused him to be sick. He was being used as a battleground between the devil and the Lord. Because the Lord chose to use Job to prove to the enemy that there is somebody that I have who you can abuse as much as you want, but he will not turn his back against me.
Amen.
And the Lord point out the person of Job.
I would like to elaborate on verse 5. Again, verse 5, we see the act of faith coming by two things. In Job, verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ears. He heard the questions that God was asking him. All those questions, again, I repeat, Job was not capable of answering the questions that God was asking him. Then he goes on to say, there's a colon there, and he moves on, but now mine eyes see thee. He's seeing God now in a different picture here, which he has received so much knowledge from the questions that God had asked him. I have heard with my ears the hearing of the things that God continued to ask him. Then he goes on to say after the colon, but now mine eyes see it thee. He is now seeing the fullness and the power of God and the might of God. And that's what the church and we all need to see, that we serve a mighty God who knows all things.
Amen.
Is saying. And this we need to understand. Faith cometh by hearing from the questions that God asked Job, and also faith cometh by, but know mine eyes see thee. What a wonderful experience Job is having. He's now seeing the fullness of God, how mighty God is, and that it is for the church as well. We talk,
amen,
we talk about the power of God, but are we seeing it? We are hearing, but like Job, but he went on to say, not only hearing, he now sees. When last have we seen a miracle in our midst? These are the things that God is trying to show to the church today, and we're seeing it coming out from what Job is now saying after the many questions that God had asked. I could go on to explain much more, but I'll give time to somebody else to say something else.
Amen. Well, it's just that we never actually reach verse 5 yet, but thanks for the explanation, dear Pastor. I mean, it is very much up the street that we are going. And so I am going to open up the phone again to anybody who would like to make a comment.
Mr. Fiani here.
Yes, yes,
ma'am. For me, the whole story of Job is showing what the believer really is like. We start off when we just come in contact and relationship with the Lord. We start off very deep. Just like what Job said, although he lost everything, he said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. And then he could say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And in the early part of his experience, before he experienced some real traumatic areas, he had a lot of good things to say. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know I shall see him someday. He said, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. But as things got heavier and deeper and more traumatic and internal, he behaved in a different way. It was deep now, very deep. And now he started questioning God as to, why am I really having to be going through all of this? What did I do? And this happens to us as we grow in the Lord and as we mature in the Lord, and things happen to us that we never dream would come our way. But God knows that we're not going to give up. He knows that though our outer man is perishing, our inner man is renewed. And yeah. So I believe that God doesn't, because God doesn't want to lose any of us, he doesn't pressure believers that have not yet grown and matured in him. He doesn't put on too much pressure to come their way. But mm-hmm. as you grow in the Lord, the depth of the Lord, the knowledge of the word, and more in God, things get harder and heavier, and then you start drawing from the past experience that he promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you, and you are not going to give up. Because now you have made your calling and election sure, and you're in him deep, and you're saying, no matter what, I know in whom I have believed, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. And so with that kind of purpose in your heart, as you mature in the Lord, that is really what the devil has a problem with, because you're not giving up. You keep getting deeper and deeper. That's my vision of Job overall, as I watch the different areas. And in so doing, as I conclude, he learned a lot about who God is that he never knew about. And come down to the latter part of it now, he said he doesn't know anything. He knows that God knows everything, and that with everything, the purpose of God is what is going to prevail. That's my verse.
Yeah. Bless the Lord, Sister Fiani. Bless the Lord. Of course, we all learn a lot from Job. And he learned a lot from his experience, as you rightly said, my sister. And it certainly made him a better person, ultimately. And at the same time, God remains God. Nothing God has lost. God remained God throughout all of this. But we watch Job as a servant. And I would like to remind us that throughout all of this, from start, from verse 1, chapter 1, all the way up here to chapter 42, God maintained that Job was his servant. God never ceased from stop calling him his servant. Right through. The relationship has not been broken at any point. God continued to refer to him as a servant. And that is so important for us as Christians here tonight. That regardless of what it is, our relationship with the Lord needs to be intact. Is there another thought that you'd like to share?
Yes, Pastor.
Yes, Pastor, sir.
He actually took away the words from me. because I was just thinking I didn't get a chance to go down to the other verses, but that is the verse I was zeroing on. More than one verse is three times right here that God called Job, my servant. You, when we have a relationship with the Lord, we are his children, sons and daughters. But this to me is like, is such an endearing word. He keeps talking about my servant. And that is what I really was focusing on, and I just hear you say it. Also, I keep hearing every time, it is always mentioned that Job said, I know my Redeemer lives, excuse me, when he was going through his suffering. And I think that it was like a prophetic word when Job spoke those words, because what did he know about the Redeemer? But we today know about the Redeemer, that he has come and redeemed us from our sins. And what I'm thinking of is that every one of us go through different trials, different type of trials. And for myself, I can say, I may not have said the word, I know my Redeemer lives. But when I spoke a word, one of God's word that he said would not come back void, I found out that God's word is true and strong and can be trusted, and it will carry you through whatever situation you are in.
Yes.
So, you know, that is just my little bit of observance of you know, just trusting God and believing his word no matter what, because none of us, every one of us go through trials. We wish we wouldn't have them, and we don't know why we have them. But that's the time you get to know God in those situations. When there is no one around, when your back is up a wall, against a wall, when you don't know whether to turn left or right. So this time we can say, we heard of him, but now we see him because we get to know him in these situations.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Sister Barbara, for that talk. I believe tonight we are looking on this passage on the whole experience with Job in a deeper light, in an extremely deeper light. It was no joke that the brother was suffering. And out of his suffering, he spoke the way he did. But not knowing that he was not glorifying God in the way in which he was speaking. So that others will see the hand of God at work and give God praise and give God glory. He did not realize that as much as he was speaking truth to power, he was speaking about his illness, the way he was feeling, the way it looked and all the rest of it to others. Yet, God was not getting the glory from his illness in the way in which it was designed. And we have this tonight as an example to us as Christians. As an example so that we don't fall in that same slot. Whatever it is, Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. I will give him praise. I will give him glory. I will worship him. Unless there is some form of connection, firm connection between us and God, we are going to miss this moment from giving him the praise and giving him the glory. Because here is Job in his illness. Say in one part of the scripture, we leave that is Job chapter 7, verse 11. He said, Therefore, that is when he wanted to challenge God about his illness, because I am a righteous man, he declared. And therefore, what is happening to me should never happen. So he said in verse 11 of chapter 7, therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I just want to see him, to really give him a part of my mouth. That is what Job said down there. And then he went over 23. We touched on this the last time we were here. In verse 3, 23, verse 3. Oh, that I might know where I might find him, he declared, that I might come out even to his seat. That I might come out even to his seat. I will order my cause before him, and I will fill my mouth with arguments. But hey, church, look here. When he eventually saw him in 43, when he eventually saw him in 43, instead of being so pompous, what did he say here? Lord, it is me. It is me who messed up. When you ask the first question, who is he that put darkness upon my comfort? He's here now saying, Lord, it is me trembling before God. In fact, from 40, he said, I'm going to put my hands over my mouth because I don't think I should say a word to him. This is where I want to get the church tonight. I want to let you know that we need to see God in the greatness of who he is as a church. We need to see him bigger than all our problems. Before I open the phone to you again, let me read on a little bit more. Verse 4. Hear, I beseech thee. I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. And verse 5 says, I have heard of thee by the hearing. Listen to that. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see thee. Therefore, verse 6, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I've been, Pastor Fiani just touched upon it a while ago. I've been hearing by the hearing. What you have been saying to me, the questions you have been asking me since chapter 38 up until 41. I have heard your servant Eliu speak to me from he start to talk about you in chapter 32. I have not said a word because I was convinced in my spirit that he is speaking your language, Lord. And we find that when Eliu finished speaking in chapter 37, God took over in chapter 38, saying the same things that he was saying. So he had a long stretch. Job had a long stretch of listening to the voice of God indirectly and directly. And as a result of him hearing about God, as a result of him hearing about God, this is his finding. This is his conclusion here in 5 and 6. I have heard about you in the hearing of the ear. But now I am seeing you how is he that he's seen him? He heard about him, both from Elihu and the question that the Lord himself asked. And he took the hearing to another level. And as it pulls said, it shined the light of revelation. It puts an image to the question. It puts an image to what he has been hearing. And he declared, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the one from where all of these words are coming. I have seen the one who made the heaven. I have seen the one who made the earth by way of revelation through his spirit. I have seen him. And seeing God in this light humbles the brother. Humbles him. Because he discovers that God is in truth the Almighty God. Oh Lord, believers this evening, I just want to say to all of us, let's try and humble ourselves before this tremendous God. Who is there not watching us? Not waving a big stick over any of us, any one of us, but at the same time, allowing us to see ourselves. Job said, look, I despise myself. I despise myself for the things that I have said. I abhor myself before you. He looked back and he saw the things he said. As much as he said it out of the anguish of pain and suffering, yet still, God realized that he did not shine light on his counsel in doing this. And Job saw it himself, and he repented.
Amen.
Sister Sharon, could you read Isaiah chapter 6, please?
Yes, Pastor.
It is from 1 to 7.
Okay. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And that was Isaiah 6, 1 through 7.
Thank you very much, my sister, for reading that beautiful passage for us. The last time that we were here, Sister Barbara touched upon it, and I did not, because of time, I did not get a chance to elaborate upon it. But I would like to make a few observations here as that passage was read to us, and how it relates to what we are saying here. Look, Isaiah served under four kings, according to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. Served under four kings. But apart from in Isaiah serving under four kings, God used Isaiah. God used Isaiah to minister to his chosen people. And Isaiah would receive the inspiration from God and convey God's message to his people for many, many, many years. There was no two way about it that Isaiah was a genuine servant of God. In fact, when you think about Isaiah 53, the revelation that Isaiah got in regards to the to Jesus' suffering, you would want to think that Isaiah had seen it happen physically. He was at ringside watching the blow-by-blow description. You'd want to think, because Jesus' crucifixion went exactly as the prophet prophesied. Isaiah was without doubt a servant of God. But look, when Isaiah, despite all of this experience Isaiah had, when Uzziah died, the word tells us, Isaiah saw the Lord being used of God for so many different years, bring so many comfort and accuracy to God's people in regards to God's word. And here comes an experience in his life. King Uzziah died, and the word said he saw the Lord. In a greater dimension than what he had before, he is discovering the God that he is serving in a higher plane. And when he saw the Lord, this is the point I want to make all this time. When he saw the Lord, when he saw the manifest presence of the Lord through his spirit, He discovered that he was undone. He discovered that he had sin and he had iniquities. He discovered that there was something wrong with him. In light of viewing himself against the great and what wonderful God, the sinless God, he discovered that I am mortal. He discovered that I cannot measure up with him. He discovered that there is none like him. And he cried out and he said, "Who is me? For I am undone. I am undone." He, the prophet of God, crying out to God to show him some mercy. When he saw the greatness of Almighty God, and the word tells us that God, at that point, allowed one of his servants, one of the seraphim, to take a live coal from off the altar and came and touched his tongue, and his iniquity, remember that saying, his iniquity was purged. His iniquity, the servant of God who prophesied under four kings for many years and prophesied accurately. Find out that when he came face to face with the master, he was undone. Oh my God. Oh, church, are you listening to me?
So
we understand now where Job is. Job, God gave a testimony of him and said that he's perfect, he's upright, he ensured evil. And yet the residue of sin, because God did not say that he was sinless. God did not at any time say that Job was sinless. But the residue of sin showed its ugly head. And when the brother saw the Lord, the brother bowed in reverence to him and declared that he has uttered words without knowledge. Oh, friends, we are locked in with a wonderful God, but at the same time, is a God of justice. But what we find, he is quick to show compassion. He is quick to show mercy. And that is what he has shown Isaiah, and that is what he has shown Job. What is he showing us tonight? I believe he's showing us the same thing. He's showing us compassion and he's showing us mercy. Because we do err. We do err in our thoughts, in our actions. We do err before him. And we need to humble ourselves right here. Right? As he declared, as he declared in verse, in 42 verse 3. As we repeat what God has said, who it is, who is this, who is he that I did counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered that I understood not. I have uttered that I understood not, he said, things too wonderful for me, which I know not. In other words, I say things in ignorance.
Master, you just said, you just asked a question. What is he showing us? And you're asking, what is he showing us personally? And it just came to my mind that he's showing us in Malachi 3, I think verse 14 or thereabout, that at times our words can be stout against him. And we can say things that is not acceptable by him.
Exactly.
And if you read that verse, you will see he said, thy words have been stout against me. You have called the proud happy. You have said it is vain to serve me. And you have said things that is not pleasing to me. And so that is for us. We have to watch our words. Because although he shows mercy and grace, but he is a God of justice and he shows the truth.
Amen. Amen. One more opportunity for us to make a comment if you'd like, and then we'll come back to this one more time, because I would like to summarize the whole thing, and so we will not be able to do it tonight. So I'm going to ask if you have another comment. Please go ahead and do it now before I make a final.
I'd like to look at verse 10, Pastor.
I give you that chance, but allow somebody else, and then I come back to you. Who's that person?
Saying
is there
that
somebody
else? We go wrong.
I'm sorry?
We have to ask the Lord to forgive us, sir, when we step out of line, when we
yes.
do wrong.
Yes, Sister Bernice, that's exactly the point we're trying to labor tonight. Because Job had acknowledged that before the Lord. Acknowledged that before the Lord. Oh, my God. Yes.
Pastor, you said you're not going to finish this. You're not going to finish this tonight. Because
I hear Pastor Fiana just mentioned verse 10, which is somewhere I was going also. I don't know what he was going to say, but if you're going to finish it, you can't finish tonight, so maybe we should leave that everything for the next time and close it up.
Okay.
But one other thing I would like to say is just this. I just wanted to ask, where is Eliu in all of when they come to this? God address everybody else except Eliu, and we never heard another word about Eliu.
Yes, that's true. That's true. The brother was a mouthpiece for the Lord. If you notice, he's not mentioned here at all. All right, we will look at that too, Sister Barbara. But seeing that there is nobody else, I'd like to pass her to mention of verse 10. Go ahead, Pastor.
And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, comma. Look what happened when the Lord turned. When he prayed for his friends, colon. Here we see the Lord coming into the picture, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, colon. Here is Job praying for his friends who were criticizing him and passing all different kind of remarks and so on. But then after, colon, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Notice the Lord. The Lord is now attending to the prayer of Job. Job is praying for his friends, asking forgiveness for his friends, and asking also forgiveness for himself. And God, through his son, is now blessing him because he prayed for his friends that had said so many unkind things. We too, as a church, have to learn to pray and forgive. Again, we look at Timothy chapter 2. Paul is telling us to pray and intercede as a church for all men, even those who are abusing us and saying all manner of evil against us. Why we should do this? Paul says that we, the Christians, would live a peaceful and godly life. And here we're seeing results out of verse after verse 10, what happened to Job thereafter.
Yes.
I'll stop at that tonight.
Thank you for that comment, Pastor. All of that we have here, but we did not actually reach there yet. But it is interesting that Job prayed for his three friends. Not only that he prayed for them, but the Lord called them up, and the Lord told them what to do in order to bring sacrifice and sacrifice for their wrongdoing or the things that they said wrong. And then the Lord said, look, the man Job will pray for you. And who is Job? The very person that they were accusing of sin that caused him to be sick. Can you imagine that for a second? They thought that they were right all these times. And then the Lord proved to them that, look, you weren't right. But Eliu said the same thing. You will remember when Eliu came on the scene in chapter 32, verse 1. He said, look here, my anger is kindled against you, the Job three friends. And why am I angry with you? It's because you're accusing the brother falsely. You don't have a reason. You don't have a reason to accuse him. And Elihu also didn't stop there. He said to Job, look, my anger is kindled against you because you justify yourself rather than God. You see what I'm saying? So from way down there, it has been proven that Job's three friends were wrong. And Elihu labored that before them. And none of them spoke since that time. Because they were feeling the inspiration coming through God's servant Elihu to them. And God used him to communicate the information that was necessary at the time. And not only to them, but also to Job. So they stay silent until Job broke that silence in chapter 14. I would like to...
Pastor.
Thank you, Bob.
Pastor.
Go ahead, Sister Barbara.
Pastor, Elihu would come like a type of the Holy Spirit in whatever was said. And because, you know...
Amen, sister.
Pastor. Because that is just how the Holy Spirit would speak to us. And there's another scripture I'm coming up with. But even in verse 8 here, when God told them to go to Job, he said to my servant, he said, for him will I accept.
Yes.
Him.
Yes.
You know, so there was something different about Job. He said, for him, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant, Job.
Yes.
Okay? And this is like when the scripture tells us, you must not judge one another. Don't point finger at other people. This is all that it is coming out to. So, scripture and the Holy Spirit, Pastor. This is what the whole thing is about. Hearing the word of God and the Holy Spirit revealing things to us. And we are being God and trust God.
So that we can decrease and he can increase.
We learn so much from this that we need to look at ourselves and look at God. And when we look at God, we see that we fall short every single day. We have to say, just like Uzziah, woe is me. God help me. Mercy, Lord.
Yes, as a servant of God for many years, prophesied truth. When he saw the Lord, he said, I am undone. I am undone. I am undone. Woe is me, for I am undone. And the Lord has to show mercy upon him. Just by all of that, he saw the Lord. Job saw, because he said, I'm going to fill my mouth with argument and I'm going to challenge him for having me sick when I'm a righteous man. But when he saw the Lord, he covered his mouth.
Isaiah saw the Lord, he was able to hear the Lord. So that when the Lord asked the question, who shall I send? He could answer, send me.
Because the Lord cleaned him up, sister. I want to say, all of us here in this church tonight, let's use these examples to improve our own spiritual life before God. Be humble. Be ready to repent. Ready to say I'm sorry. Ready to repent before God.
Search me, O God.
Bless the Lord. We will leave it there for tonight, and then the next time we come, we'll definitely wrap up Job, because we would like to summarize the whole thing. And we are going to go into the fact that there are different things here. I know that you're going to ask me the question, who is it that Job have the second set of children with and all these other things. We will go into that next time that we come. All right? And so the Lord bless you. Thank you for your input tonight. And we give God the glory for all that he has done. Let us continue to read Job. And let us continue to get from it all that the Lord would have us to have. Amen? Bless the Lord.